From the floor of an ancient sea, from which rose the city of Dallas, Texas, jewel of the Southwest, this is Coast to Coast AM. My name is John Wells, John B. Wells, to distinguish myself from the fellow with all the money out in Hollywood producing things, in for the vacationing George Norrie. It's great to be back with you. Compliments of the season to everybody, and seeing as this is, depending on how you look at it, let's see, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth day of Christmas. Well, Merry Christmas. Tonight, I think this is going to be a good one. That's just what I think, and I hope you do too. For the first hour, we will have Lauren Weinstein with us, and later on, Joel Skousen. And these are rational, learned men who are very focused on where technology is taking us and where privacy is being compromised. So why don't we do what we always do and go to some news stories? Well, let's start with weather. California and Texas have officially switched weather. The last time I looked at the thermometer, it was 61 degrees. And it's the 29th of December. Oh well. So all of the global warming is centered here because there are record snowfalls in England, more snow than they've had, colder temperatures than since records began in 1910, and Germany is receiving more snow than they have in 110 years. So I don't know, but be that as it may, the Obama administration, after failing to get climate change legislation through Congress, they plan to push through an environmental policy, plural policies, through other means, and Republicans are ready to put up a fight for that. Critics say the new rules are a backdoor to enact the president's agenda on global warming without the support of Congress, would hurt the economy, put jobs in jeopardy by forcing companies to pay for expensive new equipment. Jumping over to terror. This is a good one. Airports, that's airports plural, demand racial profiling to fight terror. This comes from The Local. This is German news in English. The incoming head of Germany's main airport lobby group is demanding the nation's transit authorities use racial profiling to weed out terrorists at security checks. Christopher Blum, the head of Düsseldorf Airport, told Daily Rheinische Post on Tuesday that air passengers should be divided into different risk categories, meaning they would be subject to varying degrees of scrutiny by airport security. Quote, that way the security system could become more effective to everyone's benefits. He'll take the helm of the ADV Airport Association next month. He said profiling passengers according to characteristics such as race, religion, and country of origin would allow German airports to avert a further tightening of security. And while highly controversial because of its discriminatory nature, racial profiling has also found growing support in some quarters. However, critics fear it would stigmatize entire groups of passengers simply on their looks, like what happened to people with long hair several decades ago, but as well as their faith or where their trip originated. Quote, one last quote, such suggestions sound too much like the wish to save some time, but it's better to spend half an hour in line than to end up dead. Well, I agree with that part of it. This is an interesting discovery. A Celtic tomb hailed as great archaeological find. In a discovery described as a milestone of archaeology, scientists have found a 2,600-year-old aristocratic burial site at the Celtic hill fort at Heunenberg in Baden-Württemberg. A lot of stuff coming out of the Platonic part of the world. The noblewoman's tomb, dating from early Celtic times, measures 4 meters by 5 meters, exceptionally well preserved, containing gold and amber jewelry that makes it possible for the first time the precise dating of an early Celtic grave. This kind of got my attention on this. Of course, they pulled the whole thing out intact. They were very careful with it, and they'll be conducting their tests. But where it was found is in an area of a large settlement from about 700 BC. Which became one of the key centers of power and trade in southern Germany. And as we look back over history, I think it's interesting to note the series of events that occur that result in one area or another becoming a center of wealth and power, perhaps just in furtherance of controlling property, whether it's populated or not. Let's pick on the TSA for a minute. This lady has done this before. She has made national headlines for her near-nude protest at the airport in Oklahoma City. She's back, and once again, she's banned from flying. This is interesting. Last month, security denied her access because they said they found traces of nitrate somewhere on her body. Now it's something near her bottom that is raising a red flag. The reason stated was they were unable to find, clear an unusual contour of her bottom. She would not say what the unusual contour was, but she says she's sleeping at the airport and she was told she'd be allowed to board her flight home Wednesday morning. People are showing up in Speedos with ink marks on their backs and other body parts, dissing Jenna Napolitano, the head of the TSA, and it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more ridiculous. So who knows where this is all going? I don't. Actually, I think I do. To get to the point, neither the world or our audience want or need any more fear-inspiring rhetoric or witterings. Do we, as people of Earth, do we need a little, what I like to call the Agent Gibbs treatment, the little vertical slap from bottom to top up the back of the head to each other, in furtherance of evoking the response, thanks, I needed that. So the theme of tonight's program is not be afraid, be increasingly more afraid, and by the way, feel increasingly helpless. Tonight's theme is, are things taking on a life of their own? And in fact, are they already alive and, well, is the game afoot, as Mr. Holmes would say? Well then, let's get ready, because no matter what, these appear to be the interesting times the old curse referred to. Tonight, conversations with privacy advocate and internet pioneer and technology sentinel, Lauren Weinstein, and later, political strategist and security analyst, Joel Skousen. This one may knock not just your socks off, but so many of your garments that you may want to keep a robe handy. Wells in for Nori. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Let's talk about Lauren Weinstein for just a second before we get him on the line. And he's standing by. He's been involved with the development of the internet for decades. He began his involvement in the early 70s at the first site of the internet's ancestor, the Defense Department. Is that ARPANET? It is. He is an expert regarding a wide range of privacy issues and many other topics related to technology's impact on individuals and society. And besides that, there's a picture of him sitting here on a Harley Davidson, which is a machine that's close to my heart. How are you, Lauren?
Yeah, I'm fine, John. How are you doing?
Doing all right. It's good to be on the line with you. Well, we spoke earlier today just to get acquainted, and took about 5 minutes, I think. And so where shall we start with all this? How shall we approach the rabbit hole? And I wonder if we can find Wonderland at the bottom of it.
Well, you were talking about the lady who has the interesting technique of protesting TSA.
I mean, yeah, about that.
Interesting TSA topics we can go into right here, especially with so many people flying around right now, trying to get home, trying to get on vacation, get back to hither and yon. And it's really unfortunate what's happening right now, because you've probably heard the term security theater, and that's very much what's happened now. Obviously, there's been a lot of concern about the deployment of the backscatter X-ray machines.
Which are not safe, I understand. There are a lot of people complaining about that.
Well, the problem there is that there's been very little study. And as usual, when you see new technology deployed on a mass scale, you have to be concerned about what happens when you apply it to millions of people. So, for example, there's a group of four scientists at UCSF, one of them a renowned oncologist, who sent a letter to TSA and to FDA expressing their concern about these devices. These guys are no slouches when it comes to radiation and x-rays and all these sorts of things. And they just flatly don't buy into the argument that it's the same amount of radiation that you get in 3 minutes or 10 minutes of flight and these kinds of stories that we hear, because this is a very different kind of mechanism. It concentrates all the energy at the top layers of the skin and just under the skin. You're assuming that the machines are working properly all the time. And there's stories now, you may have seen one in the New York Times, I think it was just yesterday, and this isn't the first, of medical x-ray equipment that's found to be horribly misadjusted, used wrong, horribly irradiating patients, causing diseases and sometimes death. These are in hospital environments. They're relatively clean. They're being operated by professionals. That's not really the situation we have in airport terminals when you look at the way these backscatter devices are out there. And then when you follow the money on these things, you discover that a lot of the people who were involved in pushing this technology out aren't exactly uninterested bystanders. So, for example, this all started under former TSA head Chertoff, and now he works with the companies that manufacture these scanners. So
I'm shocked.
The usual suspects, right? So there's a lot of concern about these devices. The fact that they say they're safe is not based on any kind of reasonable study or information that can really be trusted. There's been no real third party analysis that can be trusted. And beyond that, there's a lot of evidence that they don't even work for what they're supposed to do.
Well, they're missing a lot of stuff. And let me ask you, now hold on to your thought there. I don't want to interrupt you too much, but how long did it take them to deploy these machines anyway? It seems like all of a sudden they just appeared.
They had some test units out, I believe, over the last couple of years. There were a few airports that they started with, and then they really ramped it up. And as usual, what happens is in our security apparatus, we're very reactive in this country. So if somebody tries to, someone tries to set their shoe on fire, we start forcing everyone to take off their shoes. If there's a claim that somebody has a bottle of shampoo that's going to explode, you can't carry bottles of shampoo on anymore above a certain size.
Right. Then they took our cigarette lighters away, and now they'll let you have a Bic, but you can't have one that puts out a little jet.
Yeah, right. And in this case, what really triggered the mass deployment of these machines, other than the money issues involved, was the so-called underwear bomber who supposedly had explosives in his underwear, and the claim was that these machines would have maybe found those explosives.
Sure, but not if the person with the underwear bomb or the jockstrap bomb or whatever is coming had the kind of help that this character had getting on the plane.
Well, and in fact, the really sad part about this is that there's a publication that's called the Journal of Transportation Security, and they just put out a report that said there's lots of ways that a skilled terrorist could put the explosives on their body where these backscatter X-ray machines wouldn't even detect it, for that matter. And that's without even going into the kind of more sordid issues of bodily orifices and such, which unfortunately is a very real concern, which obviously these machines aren't going to be able to deal with. So it really causes you to consider that what we're really looking at here is sort of a big show. It's to convince people that they're safe so that the mechanism continues to spin properly. So people will buy their airline tickets, they'll get on the planes. But really, the people who deal with these systems know that terrorists who have support, who are intelligent, and there are intelligent terrorists, to be sure, they know how to evade these systems. And even the older technology systems that you would think would be foolproof by now, the ones that are used on baggage, the baggage x-ray systems, when they send out teams to test those, they miss anywhere between 50 to 70% of the items. So really, this is all kind of on faith. And if you're going to be taking it on faith, and if the machines aren't really working the way they're supposed to be working, if there's so many ways to evade them, does it make sense to get irradiated as the cost of all of this? So,
well, and now how does this tie in with what you're saying, combined with that fellow Chris Liu that took a bunch of cell phone movies of all these security,
yeah,
like gates that are standing wide open in various areas of the airport. I mean,
yeah,
where do you think this is all going? And what I mean by that is, it doesn't seem to me like the TSA. I mean, it seems like they're losing their footing rapidly.
Well, to answer your first part of your question, I suspect that where this is going ultimately. First off, we know where it can't go, right? TSA has said they're not going to get into more invasive inspections than what they're doing now, and it's hard for them to get much further than the kind of enhanced pat downs they're doing now, where they're literally, you know, there's a website out there, I think it's called Daily Pat Down, where they show photos of 90-year-old women being dragged out of wheelchairs, little, you know, 5 and 6-year-old kids being basically strip searched. People being just dragged and pushed around and manhandled in ways that if you did it at the state prison, there would probably be a lawsuit by the inmates. So you have to assume that the first time that there's a terrorist attack that does involve body cavity explosives or something, that they're not going to go to the next level of inspection for all passengers. So where does that leave us? You mentioned it earlier in your news segment. The German push for what they're calling racial profiling, and that's a very, very sensitive area for obvious reasons. But I suspect that, like it or not, ultimately we're going to be looking at a situation where additional information is going to have to be brought into play to try to determine which people represent the highest risk. Not 100% risk, because even if you did racial profiling, you can create a situation where terrorists will then try to recruit someone who doesn't fit the profile.
Right. Well, you know, the Israelis have a very effective way of screening passengers, and I don't hear anybody complaining about that. But then again, I might not.
Well, there are complaints, but they do have a very effective system. But one of the problems is that if you just ignore all the other aspects of the question, they don't deal with the kind of volumes of passengers that we do in this country.
True.
And the kinds of system they use of rather intense questioning and such, it's hard to see how you could deploy that without creating enormous delays in the system here. And after all, it's all about money, right? And delays cost money. So that's going to be a major part of the question. But I do think that there's going to have to be a move toward a smarter system where you're not necessarily strip searching 90-year-old grandmothers who are crippled in wheelchairs. I mean, that's just a craziness, because they're saying, well, we have to treat everyone equally, we have to do it at random. But you can look at this from a standpoint of probabilities, and if you look at the terrorists that we've had to deal with and would-be terrorists that we've had to deal with, none of them have been 6-year-old children, and none of them have been 90-year-old grandmothers. So you can't get 100%, but there's certainly things that we can do that would show some intelligence rather than just kind of putting on this big show for the public and for the enrichment of the manufacturers of the scanners, while irradiating people with equipment that experts in radiation are very concerned about.
Is it too theoretically conspiratorial, or whatever I'm trying to say here, to suggest that, do you see an element of a deliberate fomenting of fear in the public? I mean, it seems like we're talking about, we're trying to make people feel better about flying. Hey, we're safe, it's fine, we have these security measures, but that's not happening. It seems like it's the opposite that's happening. Am I off track here?
It's hard to say, but I tend to never attribute to conspiracy that which I can more easily attribute to stupidity.
And
there's plenty of the latter to go around, for sure.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, now, according to this little piece in the... I like to go to the Drudge Report because it's an aggregate site and it just takes you everywhere, you know. And it says that this comes out of Sacramento, that the TSA has a lot of things they're going to have to answer for as a result of this, these videotapes that were put up on YouTube and so forth.
Yeah, that's the whole issue of access to quote secure unquote areas by employees. You know, the TSA will argue, well, they've all had background checks. But, I mean, let's face it, the kind of background checks these guys go through is not exactly rigorous. Plus, there's this whole issue of cargo. And that's a very intractable problem, because not only don't we really have technology that can effectively even find everything on cargo, even if you could scan every package and every cargo container and everything else, but if you tried to do that much scanning, you could never move all the cargo that we have to move. So that's another one where there just aren't obvious solutions. You can try to tighten things up at points of origin. There's all kinds of things you can do in terms of being smarter about how you're handling it, but we're just not going to reach 100% on any of this.
I'll tell you what, let's take ourselves a little break here because our valued sponsors, which help keep us on the air, need a little airtime, and I want to be able to have a nice long run of a chat with you on the other side of this break, if that's okay. John Wells in for George Norrie tonight. We're speaking with Lauren Weinstein, and we'll be back in just a few on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you, Ross, my wonderful invisible friend. We're talking with Lauren Weinstein tonight, and I'll tell you, I'm not sorry. I feel like I should be. You know, there's a ghost in me that wants to say I'm sorry, but I'm not. I'm sort of mad about this. As a matter of fact, I wound up in the left seat of an airplane because they searched my 78-year-old mother, now deceased. It really made me mad. And, you know, given the scale of these various attacks around the world, you know, the thing with the packages on board the cargo planes and the blah, 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 and we've all heard it, and just ad nauseum, I don't understand why we're harassing our own citizens, and that's really the way I look at it. So, Lauren, let me ask you something. The back a few decades ago, there was these characters running around called Nazis, and you know, people were trying to get out of there, and they were. We already have little cards to say, "Are you carrying any monetary instruments or cash in excess of $10,000?" I don't know. I just see the sinister aspect of this thing. It's like, are they trying to scan everybody to make sure they're not trying to sneak their valuables out of the country, or is that just,
you know,
a little over the top?
It's interesting because what they're actually finding with these scanners is they consider the statistics about what they're actually finding in terms of whether or not they've actually stopped a terrorist with these machines. That's considered to be secret information. That's classified. But They seem to be pretty happy to tell, you know, that they've found this much grass and this much currency and this guy with a penknife and you know, all the little things that they're finding. And you do have to get the thought in the back of your mind, you know, is this really about terrorism, or is it about having a way to do searches that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to get permission to do in that kind of situation?
Well, I don't mean to be flippant about this, and I certainly don't mean to be impertinent, but it's like, if you can't get a doobie through the airport, how do you get a metric ton of heroin through the airport, so to speak? It's done all the time on, you know, maybe not that drug, but certainly other stuff. And you know, I have a little bit of compassion, very little, but some, for the TSA people. It's like, oh, well, it's a thankless job. It's like, well, if you don't like your job, you can quit. But in the meantime,
you know, I actually have a fair bit of concern for the field people. I can feel for them because, you know, I don't think all of them signed up to be putting on vinyl gloves and feeling people.
Well,
I don't think that's the job that most of them signed up for, and I know that they're taking a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of them.
Yeah, they are, and frankly, with very rare exceptions, they've always been pretty nice to me. I don't object to them. I object to the technique and the procedure that they're forced to employ. But the thing is, this is what bothers me. And that is that these are human beings just like us all. You know, they have good days, they have bad days. They laugh, they cry, they bleed if they're poked with a pin and all that other stuff. But the thing is they're doing the job anyway, even if they object to it. So does this suggest to me that if things escalated on a societal level, and you have our military and police in there. There's a website up there somewhere. I can't call the name of it at this moment, but it's like, I think it's Oath Keepers. Say, we will not turn our power of the police or the military against the citizenry. Well, you think they will or you think they won't? I think they will. I think some of them will, whether they want to or not. It's the old, I was just following orders thing. And
well, tyrannies are never built in a day, right?
That's right. And the snowball's rolling down the hill. So, what do we do about this? Do we, I mean, there's a somewhat sort of a passive aggressive sort of.
Well, one of the funnier things I've seen is there's an outfit that's selling underwear that has X-ray opaque messages for people to wear, you know, under their clothing that comes up on the screen. I'm not so sure that's necessarily the best approach to get, you know, if you want to get on your plane on a timely basis, but it certainly has value as a conversation piece.
Well, it certainly could, depending on the message. However, you know, you got to be careful with this stuff, and you got to be prepared for them to come back at you, because just like the man who took the videos at the airport, he had a bunch of agents show up at his house and take his federally issued firearm away, as well as his concealed carry permit as a, you know, regular civil, regular citizen. But it did generate some scrutiny from Congress or members of Congress. Do you you feel like taking some calls from some of our fellow Americans?
Always. Calls are always great.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we... Dan, we can take a break now, can't we? And then why don't we take a break? And I know we break all the time. We have to. And we want to, up to a point, but I'd rather talk to you. Let's take a break now, and then let's come back, take a few calls, and just see what some of the reaction is from our audience, the best audience on this or any other planet. John Wells in for George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Thanks to Mr. George Norrie for letting me sit in his chair while he takes a little vacation time over the holidays. And we're with Lauren Weinstein, and we're going to talk with Fred in Chicago. Come on in.
Hi, Lauren. I just was going to point out to everybody, and I think most of the American people are aware, that anyone who wants to take an airplane down, who's willing to sacrifice their life, will be successful. There's no security available, including this backscatter device, as was demonstrated in the Soviet Union by a couple of ladies, Chechenian ladies, that used body cavities to put binary bombs in and took down two Aleutian airliners. Anybody who doesn't mind dying can do it, and we're fooling ourselves if we don't start profiling along with the technology. I mean, it's got to be a two-step program. It can't be just one or the other.
Yeah, I think that as we were talking about earlier, I think that some form of profiling is really going to be inevitable. The question is how to do that in such a way that profiling in and of itself doesn't become intrusive in terms of collecting massive databases on people that can be misused in other ways, and that's potentially a big problem. But this is an area of constant research, obviously.
Most of the terrorists have not been females. I mean, there have been a couple. Most of them are people of the Muslim faith who are between 18 and 30 years old. And I would think that would make it pretty easy to figure it out. I mean, I know the government isn't very wise.
Well, I mean, but again, the issue you have on the other side of it, to play devil's advocate for a moment, is that as soon as you have a set of profile criteria that becomes understood, and over time it will become understood, that creates a roadmap for people who can pick out people who won't fit that criteria. So what that means is you end up having to do all the other security on top of the profiling, and there's just no easy solution. I mean, anyone who says profiling is an easy solution, that's not true. It is probably going to be part of the solution in some form, ultimately.
Some good points, Fred. Thanks a lot for joining us. You know, it's sort of like pulling a bed sheet at the corner. You pull the corner and the whole thing moves. As soon as the rules are known, well, then they change. Let me ask you something, Lauren, and that is, I heard some information recently about an idea that some of the potential bombing arrangers over in the Middle East were considering actually surgically implanting stuff into human bodies,
yeah,
and then sewing them back up and sending them over to the airport to go on a flight. Will these machines pick that stuff up, or not so much?
No, they won't. The backscatter machines are only good up to the skin. The radiation goes deeper in there into the skin, and perhaps a little bit below the skin layers. But you can't see anything that's really in there without using a full blown X-ray. Now, interestingly, TSA when this issue of orifice bombs and internal bombs and such is brought up, They have a couple of answers to this. I've heard two different ones that they have said, both of which strike me as nonsensical. One is that, well, even if the bomb is internal, they'll have to have some kind of external triggering device, and we'll detect that. But come on. There's all, you know, a triggering device could be the cell phone, it could be the laptop, it could be the electric razor. I mean, it's just not going to be practical to detect all those. The other one that I've heard is that, well, if the explosive is on the inside of the body, particularly speaking of like orifice type things, isn't it terrible that we're even talking about stuff like this? What have we come to, I ask?
I mean, it's just ridiculous. You
but,
know, so
but they say, ahead. Well, if it's in there, it's not going to be powerful enough to bring down a plane.
Well, if it's C4, it will be.
Well, yeah, and the other part of it is just because it's in there at the start of the flight doesn't mean it has to be in there through the entire flight. So
true.
You know, it's another reason why these backscatter X-ray machines are, you know, they may ultimately go the way of the puffer machines. You remember the puffer machines?
Yes, barely.
The government spent a fortune on these puffer machines. You were going to stand in there, it was going to puff air at you, and they were going to be able to detect explosives that way. The things never worked right. They're sitting in warehouses somewhere. I think they're trying to sell them to third world countries or something. And probably the same thing will happen with backscatter X-rays, and that's even assuming that a report doesn't come out that explains why people are going to get cancer in 20 years for something when they're out of alignment. So, you know, this is there's a lot of theater in all this, but unfortunately we're all paying for it. And we're not even getting a good show for our money.
Well, yeah, you know, even the dental technician steps around the corner after putting on a thick lead shield on the patient to just take some dental X-rays. Now, what if you're flying 6 days a week?
Oh, and there's another interesting aspect to this, too. Think about the people who are working around the machines all the time because they don't even get dosimeters or anything. They don't get anything to indicate how much radiation they're getting hanging around those things all the time in the airport terminals.
Well, small battles and in a large war, but is the fact that we're even having this conversation any kind of an example that they won something?
Well, you know, it's ultimately kind of up to us, right? I mean, we decide that we're going to fly. If you believe that the current polls, and there's no reason not to believe them, though obviously the way you ask questions is always very important in any individual poll, you still can get lots of people who will say, well, if it makes me safer, I'm happy to do it. Anything to make me safer. But, of course, that's the operative part of the question. Does it really make you safer, or is it all just to make you feel safer and to enrich, you know, various corporations along the way? And I think that's what we sort of need to be thinking about here, not the so much are you willing to go along, but how is the question being asked? Are we being told the truth in the first place so that when we have to make that decision, do we go through the scanner, do we submit to the pat-down, are we operating on the basis of accurate information to make that decision? And I think most of the time now in these security areas, we're really not getting accurate information, so it's perfectly understandable why a lot of people would be making poor decisions in this regard.
Why don't we talk to Kathy in Oklahoma? Is she there?
Hello, John. Before I get to my point, I want to throw in, you were accurate. It is the organization you were thinking of is Oath Keepers.
But, oh, thanks.
Anyway, simple solution. And not only can it cure this problem, it could take a whole heck of a lot of perfectly innocent dogs off death row. They can go through these shelters. They know how to test dogs while they're in shelters for drug detection, for explosive detection. A dog can literally pick up cancer cells.
Well, that's true.
Way before an oncologist or an MRI.
There actually is a fair bit of work in that area now. I mean, there actually are security protocols where they're bringing dogs in, sniffing out for explosives. The thing is, again, you have this problem of volume. If you're dealing with thousands and thousands of people passing through an air terminal, it's just not going to be practical to let a dog have enough access to every single individual for a long enough period of time that they'll even be able to reach whatever their maximum capability is. That's why they're going more and more toward machines that, you know, and of course the machines don't have to be fed, and they don't have other doggy type issues. So yeah, but dogs are in play. They do use them, and in some airports it is not uncommon to see dogs being led around. But I don't think it can be a practical approach to the mass screening side of the equation, just because of the numbers involved.
You know, they can sense fear. They can sense many things that a machine can't sense. But it's going to be a long day for them, given the volume of an LAX or
exactly.
One of those. All right, how about one more from is Mike west of the Rockies? I think he's in Arizona. Are you there, Mike?
Hi, Mr. Wells, Mr. Weinstein, and Mr. Skousen. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to just make a couple of quick points, and then I'll back out of here and let you guys continue talking. I'm the son of a former security chief at an international airport here in Arizona, and he told me that a lot of instances about security problems didn't have anything to do with the screening of the passengers. A lot of it actually had to do with airport employees, like some of the ramp agents. He said he had instances where they had given falsified documentation for background checks. And that would be where my concern would be, I would think. I think what's going on with these TSA is this is just an initiation. This is not about security. It's more about control and governmental control and what we're eventually is moving into a police state. And that's my opinion about that. That's basically how I feel about it.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. What do you think about that, Lauren? Are we moving toward a police state? Kind of looks like it.
Well, you know, it depends on how you define police state. If you define it strictly in terms of what people are willing to put up with for what they think is safety, there are certainly aspects. It certainly seems to be equally happening under both political parties. That's one thing. I mean, most of this security apparatus that we're talking about now was started under the Bush administration and has been continued under the Obama administration. So it's not like it's something that's all Democrats or all GOP. It just seems to be in the nature of the governmental system. Whether or not we end up in a pure police state is ultimately going to be up to us, because we are very willing, especially post 9/11. There's been a great willingness to accept surveillance, not just the airport sorts of things, but telecommunications surveillance, internet surveillance. There's a proposal now floating around from the current administration that's asking that all major internet applications be set up so that if they use encryption, the government will be able to get access to the unencrypted data, because they want to be able to wiretap the internet just the way they've wiretapped old-fashioned phone systems for many years.
Well, it's my understanding in the UK, GCHQ sits around in everything from offices to shipping containers that have been converted, listening to every phone call and reading every email and text that comes in and out of there.
Well, it's hard to get them all, but to the extent that people aren't using encryption, there's an awful lot that can be vacuumed up, and the technology to do that is getting more and more capable and more practical every day. So it's of concern when the government takes the viewpoint that encryption is somehow inherently bad, to the extent that unless we can view it, the government being the we, you shouldn't be allowed to use it. And that's a real serious problem. It's an area of great concern to those of us, especially who've been involved in the internet for a long time, and feel that kind of philosophy fundamentally weakens the security of the internet, doesn't make it stronger.
Begs the question, who are the real terrorists? Let's get Kitty in here real quick. She's in Missouri. Kitty there?
Yes. First, I want to say, John Wells, I could not remember your name. If George Norrie's listening, I hope he will put you on more often. You have a fantastic voice.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
Okay. And the other thing is, I'm not revealing anything that I'm forbidden to reveal and so forth. I want to say that up front. This is something that I was directly overhearing, and then I was called over to, it was in 1991, over to another part of the room and told whatever I did, do not get the inoculations if my unit got recalled over to Desert Storm. What they were discussing, it was the top scientist in the FDA who was to make the final decision, and he had told the Bush administration and the FDA and CDC, absolutely not. These are chemicals and so forth, never meant to be put into the human body. The combination of these inoculations, no, no, no. They overrode him. Now, since that point in time,
oh, this is not, this years is, this later. This is the nerve gas inoculations?
The nerve gas inoculations.
We were saying inoculations. What was the inoculation for?
She's gone.
We lost her. Oh, well.
Yep. Lauren, it's been a real pleasure. We're going to have to get in the wind one of these days together here.
Get on our bikes and get as far away from the airports as we can.
Yeah, let's do that. what's your blog address? 10 seconds. He's gone. Google him. John Wells is for George Norrie.